fits perfectly, but when I look at the price tag, my stomach plummets. This is Daniel's card, but there's a difference between wild and taking advantage. Only dresses on sale, I tell Krista firmly. Daniel didn't tell me anything of that sort. I'm telling you. Please, I have half a mind to leave with what I got up to now anyway. That sets her straight, and she only tempts me with items on sale next. I end up buying a knee-length, thick sweater dress that molds to my body nicely, and red ballerina shoes. Neither breaks the bank, but I draw the line there. While I watch Krista pack everything, my phone vibrates in my purse. Taking it out, I discover a message from Daniel. Daniel, how's Project Wild going? Caroline, well underway. Daniel, picture or it didn't happen. If he thinks he's going to get pics of me in my underwear, he's got another think coming. Caroline, cheeky bastard. He calls me, of course. I step a few feet away from the counter. Whatever you say won't convince me to send you pics in my underwear. Buy a swimwear magazine. I just want to see you, Caroline. Just you. You've got some nerve, mister, and you're still not getting pictures.
Did you have fun?
Yeah, lots of fun.
Good. Wear something you bought tonight.
The not-so-subtle command in his tone sends heat low in my body. I can do that. Have to go now. I'm holding up the line. After clicking off, I shove the phone back in my purse, smiling devilishly. I can definitely do that. Chapter 11. Caroline. The shopping trip took so long that I only have time to hop in the shower and then dress fast before having to bolt back out the door. I put on my new sweater dress, but don't inspect my appearance in the mirror until I have my flats on, too. Judging an outfit without shoes is like asking how the Thanksgiving turkey is without the gravy. I assess the outfit, critically. It's great for a chill night out between friends. Conveys exactly the message I want, which is, I look put together, not, I can't wait to put out again. Briefly, I wonder if I should bring up our night together after all, clear the air. Even in my mind, the conversation would sound awkward. Daniel, even though this was the best night, even though you gave me 2 orgasms and they were by far... Maybe I shouldn't lead with that. I can see how I might give off the wrong impression if I do. Best not to bring the subject up after all. I leave my building with a pep in my step, taking in the beautiful October evening surrounding me. Clutching my matching red purse under my arm, I stride with purpose. I live in a rather crowded section of the Richmond district, with residential units so close to one another it's borderline claustrophobic, but I'm just a few blocks away from the Presidio, or if I'm in the mood for a long walk, I can hike up to Golden Gate Park to the north. Some 20 minutes later, I arrive at the 14th Avenue gate entrance and find Daniel already there, pacing, hands in his pockets. He doesn't see me approach, and I take advantage of this to study him. He appears lost in thought, a frown creasing his forehead, his 5 o'clock shadow more pronounced than usual. The impulse to replace that frown with a smile hits me hard. He's not mine to make happy. Not mine. Hi, I announce myself, stopping right next to him. Daniel snaps out of his thoughts, turning to me. His handsome face breaks into a wide smile, all traces of the frown gone. Excellent. My heart skips a beat as he bends to kiss my cheek, lingering with his lips on my skin. He presses a hand at the small of my back. An electric charge jolts right through me. Oh, God. The touch isn't intimate at all, but maybe the details of our night together are still too fresh in my mind. I swear, every nerve ending springs to life. When we pull apart, my entire body is buzzing. Way to go, Caroline. I was not expecting this assault on my senses. I do a full turn, sashaying my hips playfully. Both the dress and the shoes are courtesy of your credit card and Krista's impeccable taste. He assesses my appearance, a playful twinkle in his eye. The twinkle just turned scorching hot. I can almost read the question on his lips. How about the lingerie? Better get that out of the way. Not wearing the lingerie you bought me. I never wear new lingerie without washing it first. Too many germs. There. Nothing unsexier than germs. If I thought that would turn him off, man, was I wrong. The corner of his lips twitch. Right. Moving on. Let's go before our reservation expires. We hike on a trail with towering trees on either sides. The smell of eucalyptus hangs in the evening air, energetic and fresh. The restaurant is chock-full when we arrive, but thankfully the wall opposite the entrance is lined with floor-to-ceiling windows, which are all open. Feeling optimistic about the weather, I request to be seated at a table nearest to the door. Daniel is wearing a suit, so he should be fine, and I stashed a jacket in my purse.
"How was lunch with your dad?"
he asks after we order. "Nice. We're both psyched that Niall will be here in 2 weekends. We're moving the opening party of the bookstore to that Saturday, by the way."
"Good to know."
Leaning slightly over the table, he narrows his eyes.
"I'm still invited, right?"
"My dad invited you, so I can't revoke it," I say playfully. "Besides, you're his top advisor. You're basically a guest of honor. But I understand if you can't make it. The change is very last minute."
"I wouldn't miss it."
"Thanks. I'm so happy Niall will join us, too. It's been so long since we saw him."
"He doesn't call often, does he?"
I shrug, trying to downplay this. "He's busy. Works like 100 hours a week."
"You can always make time for family."
"Well, dang. What can I say? He's perfectly right." The waiter arrives with the food, and damn, the aromas are killing me. I ordered roasted chicken salad with sweet potato fries, and Daniel ordered a steak. Sighing, I dig into my sweet potato fries, and we spend the next 15 minutes or so in companionable silence as we wolf down our food. When my plate is empty, I still feel like voicing one more thought. I didn't say anything today to Dad or Niall because I didn't want to make them sad, but I need to say it out loud. "I miss Mom so much."
"Tough thing, losing your mom. Lucky you've got mine, who fusses over you just like my sister's. She was all over me this week.
Don't forget to call her, buy her a nice present. Cheer her up, it's her first birthday without her mom."
He mimics his mother's tone, and I can't help but laugh. "Ah, so that's why you bought me presents," I say playfully, touched at Jenna's thoughtfulness. He wiggles his eyebrows.
"The lingerie was all my idea."
"I bet." I shift a little in my chair, feeling heat heading low in my body like an arrow. Suddenly, the table feels tiny. Is there really less than a foot between us? Under the table, Daniel cradles my legs between his. There are 2 layers of fabric between us, his pants and my pantyhose. But the contact electrifies me as if it were skin on skin. I change the subject before we head into dangerous territory, turning the tables on him. "How are you doing?" I inquire. "Troubles at work? You looked worried when I arrived."
"You got that?"
"Yeah." A gust of wind rustles the trees around us, and I retrieve the flimsy jacket from my purse, shrugging into it. Doesn't help much, unfortunately.
"You're the birthday girl, so I'm talking about me."
"Not fair. I can't go on talking about me the entire night."
"Oh, this is going to be an all-night event."
He flashes me his best grin, the one that sends my senses into overdrive. "Not what I meant. It came out wrong." His grin becomes even wider.
"Freudian slip?"
"Daniel..." As another gust of wind rushes past us, I shudder. My flimsy jacket is useless. I run my hands up and down my arms to warm myself up, but it's not working. Then, Daniel rises from his seat, draping his own jacket over my shoulders.
It's not so chilly, I protest.
But oh boy, is the jacket cozy. Smells like him, too, which is a bonus.
It is, and you're cold, Daniel says in a tone that allows no argument.
You still don't know how to dress weather appropriate, I see.
As my gaze meets his, I am certain he's rehashing the same memory I am. Our first night together, the walk home where he gave me his jacket and his socks, the hot shower, the even hotter sex.
Don't worry, I won't invite myself into your shower, unless you want me to.
I let out a nervous laugh, averting my gaze. This escalated quickly. My own fault, I suppose, for thinking we could keep this platonic. Squaring my shoulders, I gather my wits around me and look straight at him. I'm the birthday girl, remember? You're not allowed to make me uncomfortable.
Whatever the birthday girl wishes.
A smile is playing on his lips, and I instantly become suspicious. He's letting me off the hook too easily, but I'm not about to look a gift horse in the mouth. Since neither of us wants dessert, and the walk to the edge of the park will take a while, we decide to call it a night.
I'm walking you home,
Daniel announces as we reach the exit of the Presidio. Maybe not the best idea, but I'm not ready to say goodnight yet.
It's 7 blocks away. We can take a cab, unless you came with your car.
Nah, cab. Let's take one.
On the way home, I talk his ear off about the neighborhood, then point out my school, which is halfway between the park and my apartment. By the time we climb out of the cab in front of my building, I'm still not ready to say goodnight. But it's the smart thing to do. I shrug out of his jacket and hand it back to him. Thank you for the jacket and the evening. And the presents, of course. It was a fantastic birthday. I didn't have much time to be melancholic about Mom, thanks to you. Daniel smiles warmly.
Well, that was the point.
Wow. So you did have a master plan behind the shopping spree idea. And here I thought you were just hoping to see me in sexy lingerie.
I was. Still am.
He steps so close, our chests almost touch. A shiver runs through me, and I'd love to blame the chilly wind for it, but it's Daniel's fault. It's all Daniel. He rubs my arms with his hands, resting one on my shoulder, feathering his thumb in the crook of my neck. My mouth goes dry. Unlike other parts of me, my pulse quickens. Oh, God. Can he feel it?
Daniel. I remember the first time I realized the connection between Caroline and me was more than friendship. Blake had been in a minor accident because of a fraternity dare. I was outside the campus infirmary, and the waiting was turning me insane. Caroline joined me the second I told her what happened, and just having her with me made everything so much easier. She said the right things to put me at ease, even made me laugh. She knew exactly what I needed, and I realized she was more than a friend. After Blake came out with a bandaged arm and a shit-happens attitude, Caroline came with us to the apartment I shared with Blake. It was late, so I suggested she sleep in my bed. In the second it took me to add that I'd sleep on the couch in my room, her cheeks were red. Just like now. There are two things I love about Caroline's Irish heritage. One, her clumsy attempts to perform traditional Irish dances at weddings. She's hopeless at it, but adorable to watch. Two, she blushes like a redhead. Even though she inherited her father's dark hair, her mom was a redhead, and Caroline inherited her light skin. Right now, even her scalp has a reddish hue. "Which one's your favorite?" I ask. "What do you mean?" "The lingerie. Which set is your favorite?" She clears her throat, fiddles with her thumb.
"The black one?"
"My favorite is the white set." Exerting self-restraint while choosing her presents wasn't easy. I wanted to buy the entire damn floor. I saw the white set first and knew it was perfect for her. I can easily imagine her wearing it. My favorite part is the bra clasp in the front. I'd flick it open and her breasts would spill right into my mouth. I was sure you were always a fan of clasps in the front. When our gazes cross, she makes a small noise at the back of her throat. Fuck me. She's thinking the exact same thing. I bet the red one looks sexy as hell. All that lace. I continue, brushing a strand of hair from her face. Her breathing becomes more labored when my thumb brushes her neck. Is it comfortable? Or does it graze your skin? I trace a small line up her neck, and she presses her thighs together as if she felt my touch straight there. Oh, fuck, fuck, fuck. It was a light reaction, but I saw it, and she knows I did.
It's comfortable. There's no lace on the inside, just cotton.
Everywhere. She swallows hard, avoiding my eyes and laughing nervously.
Everywhere.
A few drops of rain splatter on the asphalt. One lands straight on her nose, making her jump. Head inside before you catch a cold, I say. Her eyes widen in surprise. I bet she was expecting me to push more, ask her to invite me upstairs. Any other time I would, but this has been an emotional day for her, and I won't take advantage. She's so responsive to me that I know how easy this night could end between the sheets. But that's not what I want, or what she deserves. Our connection is still here, always has been. We just fought hard to ignore it. It's how I knew she needed a distraction today, how she could tell I'm worried without even asking. We've had another incident with photos leaking, and I'm coming to a conclusion I don't like at all.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Have a nice evening.
Any other plans for tonight? She grins.
Oh, yeah, I have a date. Really hot dude. Potty mouth, six-pack, hypnotic blue eyes. Pity he's on screen and doesn't even know I exist.
You still binge-watch TV shows?
Of course. Once a TV junkie, always a TV junkie.
I'll leave you to your date. Taking her hand, I kiss her knuckles, then watch her enter her building. We need to have that conversation, but I promised I wouldn't bring it up today. And she's still the birthday girl. For a few more hours.
Chapter 12. Caroline. A few minutes later, I slip between the sheets with my laptop and switch on my favorite streaming service. I have 4 brand new episodes to watch. Rubbing my hands in excitement, I press play. I am midway through the 3rd episode and my 2nd glass of wine when my phone beeps. Someone who probably just remembered it was my birthday. I reach out for my phone without taking my eyes off the screen. The leads are just about to kiss for the first time, and it looks like the 10-episode wait will be worth it. But then I forget all about the kiss as I read the message. Daniel, 12:01. Birthday day is officially over. Time to tackle that elephant. I should have known he wouldn't let me off the hook so easily. Pressing pause on the screen, I sit up straight on the bed, my heart thumping in my throat. I can do this. It's best to clear the air, and it's easier to do it via text or on the phone than face-to-face. Caroline, tell me what you were worried about today. Daniel, ? Caroline, don't be cruel. Ease me into this. Daniel, had 2 incidents with leaked photos from celebrity events to the press. The problem is, I suspect someone from my team did it. On purpose. I read through his text twice, my neurons a tad befuddled by the wine. But the second his meaning sinks in, my stomach coils. I call him right away. What do you mean, on purpose? Why? I ask, instead of saying hello.
Money? Gossip magazines pay a good buck.
Let me get this straight. These are pictures of events you did for your famous clients.
Yeah.
And you're sure some other attendees didn't leak the pics?
Not 100% sure, but everyone attending wants privacy, and it happened at 2 different events, no common attendees.
I hug my knees to my chest, resting my chin on them. What are you going to do? do a bit of detective work. I like my team. I trust them. Not looking forward to it. I bet not. So, time to bring up the elephant. Damn, I'd almost forgotten about it. Carrying out this conversation after I had 2 glasses of wine isn't the smartest thing. I might let slip things I don't mean. Or worse, things I do mean but don't want him to know. Breathe in, breathe out. I can do this. Time to rip off the Band-Aid. It was a one-time thing, Daniel. Let's forget about it. These things happen, right? Wouldn't be the first time 2 exes fall in bed with each other. A brief pause, and then he talks in a low, smooth voice. It wasn't just sex. His words wrap around me like a blanket of comfort. Knowing it meant more than sex to him, too, reaches somewhere deep inside me. Still, it doesn't change things. No, it wasn't. But it was still a one-time thing. More silence, which unnerves me. Daniel usually has no problem filling silences of any kind. My stomach twists and turns in anticipation.
Why did you give up on me so easily, Caroline?
Huh? Not what I was expecting at all. Tension gathers between my shoulder blades, but I try to keep my calm. What do you mean?
When I told you it was best to break things off, you didn't say anything.
Right. Out the window goes my determination to remain calm. You'd broken my heart. What was I supposed to say? I climb out of the bed, suddenly filled with too much energy, needing to walk it off. I just pace my bedroom.
Something? Anything? Fight me on it. You accepted it so easily, as if it was what you'd wanted to.
Is this what you told yourself, to feel better about being an ass?
Partly, he admits. But it did feel like you accepted it all too quickly.
I can't believe this. I was 21 and hurt, and it was clear you didn't want me anymore. What was I supposed to do, beg?
No, just... I don't know, Caroline. I've been thinking about it many times, about how it could have gone differently.
This catches me off guard. Different how?
No idea. Anyway, I got to keep you.
Is he saying what I think he's saying? No, it can't be. Must be all that wine, and I'm reading into things. But not even I can read too many things in any way I got to keep you. Still, I gather the courage to ask for clarification. Dan, what are you saying? I whisper.
Of my top 5 regrets, losing you is right at the head of the list. I should have told you that a long time ago. I'm sorry I didn't.
But even hearing it now is more than I was hoping for. Time to put his mind at rest, too. I didn't want to break up, Daniel. I just didn't know how to fight you, or fight for you. I thought pushing back would be humiliating.
And I've just broken your heart.
Despite myself, I laugh. Yeah. More silence follows, but it's not uncomfortable this time.
You know what the second thing on that regret list is?
What?
Not getting my act together sooner and pursuing you again. I never stopped caring.
Oh, God, make him stop. Is he aware that this is every woman's dream? Well, my dream, at least. To find out that I still mean something to the man I could never forget, who still means so much to me. I didn't stop either. Caring, I mean. He lets out a long breath into the phone. Sounds like a relieved breath.
Summer was right, he says with a chuckle.
You told Summer about our night? Oh, come on. The girls have been dropping hints about us for a long time. What are they planning? Set up lunches? Impromptu get-togethers where we somehow end up alone? Something even worse. I need to start preparing my defenses. I only stop because I'm out of breath. I even stopped pacing to concentrate on remembering the girls' techniques, but I'm not naive enough to believe I remember them all. And regardless, they can whip up plans faster than I can come up with defensive techniques.
Slow down, woman. Take a deep breath. Good to know I'm not the only one they've been pestering. And no, I haven't told them. I've learned to keep my mouth shut unless I want everyone in my business. Come to think of it, I wouldn't mind that right now.
What does this even mean?
But Summer said you and I have been involved with each other's families because we didn't want to let go.
Ah, and here I was thinking you watched games with my dad out of the goodness of your heart, I tease.
I do like spending time with your dad, but I won't lie. I was half hoping you'd drop by whenever I was there.
I can't say my mind wasn't on the same track when I was helping your mom and sisters plan Blake and Clara's wedding. Though I love the bunch of them as if we're related.
You're adorable.
No, no, you don't get to charm me. I'm so proud that I'm still hanging on to my defenses. By my fingertips, but still. Clearing the air was good, but that's all this was. We're in the past.
Except the still caring bit.
We can handle it. We're adults, and I'm not the girl you fell in love with anymore. I don't volunteer more information, because that'd be one confession too many, and he doesn't need to know anyway.
I changed, too. It's been 10 years for both of us.
After a brief pause, he adds,
Remember the night I told you I loved you?
I smile. Oh, I only remember every detail about it. Yes, you were so nervous that evening at the restaurant. And then, when you said it, I teared up and tried to hide my face, and you were so sweet. God, you were so sweet. You held me and said it again and again.
I haven't felt that way about anyone since.
Boom. Straight through my defenses. This would be a good moment for my heart to pull up those walls. Remember all the crying I did after we broke up. Instead, all I can remember are the good times. Sort of like biting into a delicious but hot s'mores and burning your tongue. All you remember later is how good it tasted, not how badly your tongue burned. Neither have I, Dan. Rubbing a hand over my face, I decide it's time to end this call. I've had too much wine, and he's way too good with words. If we take a walk down memory lane, I might not come out unscathed. I don't know what else to say. We should call this a night, I say firmly. It's late.
Yeah, you're right. I have to wake up early anyway.
On a Sunday?
I'm leaving with a group to go to the Adirondack Mountains. Hiking trip until Thursday. We're leaving at 5 o'clock, so I'd better go to sleep. But, Caroline, what happened in the Marina Hotel wasn't a mistake. There's a reason neither of us moved on. Good night.
Good night. After we hang up, I feel a little shaken and a lot flummoxed, a single thought circling in my mind. How will the dynamic between us change after our midnight confessions? Chapter 13. Caroline. One more time before the break. 3, 2, 1, go. The chorus starts again, and I fight with all my might to keep a straight face. We're currently rehearsing the songs for the Halloween celebration, and I swear each of the 15 kids is singing to their own tune. They put so much heart and soul into it, bless them, that I don't have the heart to keep correcting them. Lovely, I announce when they're done. I'll see you after the break. They skitter around, their laughter and chatter filling the air. I head straight to the staff room. Carla and Rita slip in right behind me, talking about their plans this evening. I join the conversation, grateful for the distraction. I will not check the weather report in the Adirondack Mountains. I will not check it. Ever since Daniel told me he's taking a group there this week, I've been refreshing the page with the weather forecast about a dozen times a day. Monday, there was just an alert about windy conditions. Tuesday, they announced there was a mild risk of a blizzard. As of this morning, the risk was mild too, but they said there is a real possibility the warning will change to red around noon. It's 11 o'clock now. Midway through the break, I break down and check the weather report. My stomach clenches. There is now a high risk of a blizzard. Is Daniel still there with his group? He has been reckless in the past, though I can't imagine him endangering his life and that of his clients this way. Still, if I just knew for sure, I could breathe more easily. I've been sleeping like shit since Monday, worrying, wondering. Tapping my fingers on my phone, I briefly consider texting Summer or Jenna, asking them if they've heard from Daniel, but that would open a can of worms. I only have one option left, calling Daniel himself. Excusing myself from the staff room, I head to the empty classroom and dial his number. It rings for so long I almost give up, but then he answers.
Hey, Caroline.
I swear, my very bones liquefy as the tension melts from my body. I hadn't even realized I was so tense. Hey, how are you? Everything all right?
Sure, why wouldn't it be?
With a jolt, I realize how awkward I'm coming across, calling out of the blue to ask if he's okay. Sitting on my desk, I dangle my legs, carefully considering my words. I saw they announced a blizzard in the Adirondacks, and I...
You were worried about me.
No point denying it. Yes.
Don't. We canceled the hiking trip yesterday. Too dangerous. We're improvising other activities for the rest of the week.
When are you returning to San Francisco?
Next Thursday. I'm going to another group in the Rocky Mountains after I finish here. Can't wait to be back home. It's not sunny, but at least it's not as cold. Almost forgot how it feels to be warm.
Drink some hot chocolate and you'll be golden, I encourage. The second the words are out of my mouth, I can't stop a vision forming in my mind of me heading to Daniel's when he returns on Friday, helping him warm up. Take care of him. I make a mean cup of hot chocolate. Shaking my head, I inwardly laugh at myself. I have no claim on Daniel. He's not mine to make happy. Except, friends cheer each other up. I could go over as his friend. Who am I kidding? By the way my body hummed at his proximity last Saturday, I'd fall right back in his bed.
There are better ways of getting warm.
The subtle change in his tone alerts me that his thoughts aren't on the straight and narrow path either.
Hot wine, a hot shower, skin-on-skin contact. What do you think? Asking for a friend.
I grin from ear to ear, but try to work in as much severity as possible in my tone. You're insufferable, he laughs.
You sound so convincing. For your information, your voice sounds different when you smile.
Clearing my throat, I force my facial muscles in a serious expression, but they put up a good fight. Oh, Dan, I can never win against you. I just called to make sure you're okay. Let's leave it at that. He's silent for a few seconds, then finally says,
I'm sorry you were worried about me. I would have texted if I knew.
My own fault for checking the weather report so often. But you're okay, so I can go about my day.
And you won't give me another thought?
I'm the one who can hear the smile in his voice now. Not one single thought. I have to go, by the way. Break will be over soon.
Sure. Enjoy your day.
A few seconds pass, but I'm still holding on to the call.
You can hang up any time.
You hang up, I smile, remembering we used to play this game eons ago.
I'm not the one who has to go.
Fine, I'll hang up. Bye, Daniel. I click off the next second, feeling a little lightheaded. The feeling persists the entire day, right until I receive another phone call from my brother just as I'm on my way out of the school.
Hey, sis, I'll be quick. I have some bad news. I'll only be able to make it to the opening party for half an hour or so when I'm in town.
My stomach sinks. Oh?
One of the keynote speakers dropped out, and they asked me to fill in for him. The keynotes are back-to-back, and I only get one break, which is when I'll swing by at the store.
And you can't say no. They have time to find someone else.
This is a fantastic opportunity to get my name out there.
I know, it's just... I wish you could stay longer. We'll only see you for half an hour. We could drive you to the airport.
That's a drag. How about an early breakfast on Sunday morning? You can show me everything we don't have time for on Saturday.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Just like that, my good mood is back.
Daniel. On Friday morning, I pace around the meeting room, waiting for my team to arrive. Our weekly meetings are usually on Tuesdays, but we had to reschedule since I was in the Adirondacks last week and the Rocky Mountains this week. We used to do them Monday, but since many weekend events last until Monday, part of the team was always missing. I usually look forward to the weekly meeting. Everyone presents the highlights of the past week, the plans for this one. We strategize and brainstorm. If there are any problems, we tackle them together. Damn it. I trust every single person on my team, but those leaked pictures were too clear to be taken by paparazzi from outside with a long-lens camera. And the only ones attending both events were the four people from my team. Marcel and Honor, who spearhead all events of this type. Justin, who's an excellent organizational talent and has been with the company almost from the beginning. And our intern, Colbert. It's too early to point fingers, but I'm going to keep a closer eye on Colbert. He's been with us for only 4 months, and is the most likely to be tempted by the money gossip magazines offer for insider picks. My assistant Jennifer arrives first, sitting in her usual chair. Morning. Morning, Jen. One by one, the rest of the team filters in, all 25 of them. I pace the room even after everyone sits. I decide to open up with the unpleasant subject, get it out of the way, though I won't share my concern about the culprit being part of the team. As you all know, we had a second case of leaked photos last week. We can't let it happen again.
We'll secure the perimeter outside better,
Honor suggests at once. Marcel taps his fingers on the table, frowning. Maybe as a precaution, we should ask the guests to leave their phones with us for the duration of the event? Justin shakes his head. These are heavyweights in the entertainment industry, not kids going to a concert. You bring that up, you'll piss them off. Any more bright ideas like this, and soon we won't have customers left. Justin's experience is worth its weight in gold, because he's absolutely right. As the most senior member of the team, I respect him. He's like a mentor to me, but he lacks tact. His tone is so cutting that Honor almost recoils. Marcel sets his jaw. Colbert doesn't say anything, but he rarely does. He's a doer, not a talker. One of the reasons I gave him the internship. No restrictions on the guests, I say. We need them happy. Happy guests come back for more. Honor and I will work on a list of measures to implement, Marcel says. Looking around the table, he adds, Everyone around here is welcome to send me suggestions. I'll go through them with Daniel. No point discussing them now, or we'll spend the entire meeting doing just that. Let's move on, I agree. Anyone have any issues which are not on the agenda? Chelsea, our activities coordinator, clears her throat.
We're getting more and more inquiries about indoor activities, team sports, individual training, maybe even indoor rock climbing.
You want us to add a gym, I say, finally sitting too. We've had this conversation a few times, and I wasn't sold on the idea. Doesn't fit under our umbrella of experiences too well, but I might just be too subjective because I like being outdoors so much.
It's not exactly our jam, but why not give people what they want?
As if reading my mind, she adds,
Everything can be an experience. Depends how we sell it. I've compiled a list of the activities that keep popping up in the requests.
Okay. Come to my office after the meeting and we'll go through them. I've had some requests, too. I'll gladly pass them on, Marcel says with a look at Chelsea, who nods appreciatively. Unlike Justin, Marcel has the right qualities to lead a team. He commands respect without fear, keeps calm even in a crisis. But suspicion nags at me today. Was his suggestion to move on from the topic of the photos just tact, or is he hiding something? Was Honor's idea to secure the perimeter outside quick thinking, or an attempt to keep the focus on outsiders?
Friday is my favorite day of the week, Summer exclaims, hopping on a bar stool, stretching.
Sounds like you need a drink, Blake says. He's behind the counter, mixing a cocktail. His bar is my favorite place to come to relax after a long week. A few other Bennetts should filter in, too, at some point. Friday is the unofficial family day. Blake's at the bar anyway, and whoever has time stops by.
Or five, my sister counters. Blake shakes his head.
Cutoff is at three.
Summer leans over the bar, poking him in the ribs.
Oi, I wasn't asking for permission.
I laugh. He's just doing his brotherly duty.
She sits back on her chair, waggling her finger from Blake to me.
I'm 27.
Leaning closer to her, I put an arm around her shoulders.
Yeah, but see, we're always going to be 3 years older than you, so you'll always be our little sister. That's how it works. No escaping it.
Summer sighs dramatically.
Brothers, can't live with them, can't live without them.
So, what happened this week to make you need five drinks? I inquire, wondering if she's having any troubles at the gallery.
Oh, nothing bad happened. I'm just feeling feisty.
She attacks her drink as soon as Blake shoves it in front of her. Sebastian and Logan arrive shortly afterward, making their way to the counter through the crowd.
Just the five of us tonight, Sebastian says. Max and Christopher are still in a meeting and they're going straight to their homes afterward. Pippa has gone shopping with Julie.
Logan points at the draft.
I'll have a beer, please.
In a second. Let's move the party to the table I reserved. Easier to talk, Blake says, motioning with his head to the right.
My bartenders will take care of the bar.
Taking our drinks, we head to the table. Since it's in a corner, it's marginally quieter than the rest of the venue.
So who's got any news?
Sebastian asks after we sit. I consider bringing up the issue with the photos, then dismiss the idea. No reason to involve my siblings in my mess, least of all a mess involving the media. When it comes to the media, I have their backs, not the other way around. I listen to each of my brothers in turn, but something about Summer's expression tips me off that she's hiding something. No one is more terrible than my baby sister at keeping secrets. Blake seems to be thinking along the same lines because he points at our sister, saying,
Summer, you're bursting to say something.
This isn't my news to tell, but I guess she'll tell you soon enough anyway.
Sebastian frowns.
She? Who are you talking about?
Summer grins.
Alice is coming back.
You mean moving back?
Logan asks. She nods decisively. Alice moved with her husband, Nate, to London because he was directing a famous British TV show there. Alice co-owns three restaurants with Blake and has been handling the marketing and strategic planning from a distance, flying in every 2 to 3 weeks.
Are you sure? Blake asks.
She and Nate talked about it, and he wants to be back here too. He found a directing job he's happy with here. They both want to be closer to the family. They're planning to move back after New Year's.
Fantastic news. Finally, all the Bennetts will be in the same city again. Some were in and out over the years. I never had wanderlust. I traveled a lot, but never had the impulse to move anywhere else. I love this city and being close to my family. We toast to Alice's return, and afterward I take out my phone, intending to call her. A Facebook notification distracts me. From Caroline and Martin's opening party tomorrow. Frowning, I open the app. I read the top announcement on the event page. Don't forget, the opening party is tomorrow instead of next week. An all-day event. Coffee and cake will be on the house. I check the details of the event. A lot of people canceled after the date was changed. Moving the event on such short notice wasn't the best business move, but Caroline tends to decide with her heart most of the time. It's one of the things I've always loved about her, but that won't pay the bills. I glance up at my siblings, weighing the pros and the cons of spilling the beans on this. No way will I be able to pass this up as just a casual favor I'm doing for a friend. They know me well enough. Telling them will mean having everyone in my business, but a dozen Bennetts would make that coffee shop slash bookstore appear fuller, which would attract customers more than an empty shop. First rule of business, fake it until you make it.
What are you all doing tomorrow? I ask. Taking Ava and the kids out on the ocean in the morning. Logan and his troop are coming too, Sebastian says. Summer shrugs.
I'm going shopping.
Clara and I are doing a baby photo shoot in the morning. Why? Blake asks. Here goes nothing. Anyone up for an afternoon snack at a coffee shop that's opening tomorrow? Well, technically it's a bookstore.
Yes.
Summer claps her hands.
This is Martin's bookstore, right?
Sebastian holds up a hand. Wait, Martin Dunn? Caroline's dad? Yes, I clarify.
Are you and Caroline?
Logan begins, but Blake interrupts. Look at Summer. She looks like you just told her sales season is here early. All signs point to yes. They renovated the bookstore, integrated a coffee shop, and are reopening tomorrow. It'd be nice if they had a full house, or at least some company, I say. Blake lifts a brow. 9 years, and now you finally make a move? What happened?
Yeah, Daniel. What happened?
Summer props her chin on her palms, grinning.
The shoe delivery escalated quickly, huh?
What? Sebastian and Logan ask at the same time. Never mind. Can you drop by? Sebastian nods. I'll check with Ava, but I'm sure we can. As long as we can bring the kids. You can. They have a kids' corner with games and stuff. We'll drop by too, Logan says. And I'll spread the word to the rest of the family. Blake chimes in next. Baby naps in the afternoon and Clara tries to nap at the same time. But I'll be there.
Excellent. Now that everyone answered your question.
Summer drums her fingers on her cheeks.
Details, please. No dirty ones, just the romantic stuff.
I groan, glance around at my brothers. Help. Men don't talk about this stuff, Summer, Logan says patiently.
I'm just saying, if I don't get some facts, I'm going to construct my own scenarios. My mind is a dangerous place.
Jesus, Summer, slow down. She bats her eyelashes at me, but I just shake my head, fully aware of how bad my track record is when it comes to giving in to Summer. Logan smirks. He doesn't need questioning, Summer. He needs advice. I don't, I say automatically, but resign myself to listening anyway. Just as Summer will always be the family baby, and we're going to be protective of her, Logan will never step out of his older brother role either. He loves giving advice. I rarely admit it out loud, because I'd never hear the end of it, but it's usually damn good advice. You're the only unmarried brother here, Blake points out with a grin. If I were you, I'd be taking notes.
Chapter 14. Caroline. On Saturday morning, I'm at the bookstore at 6 o'clock, helping Dad and his one employee, Eilish. She's in charge of the coffee shop's kitchen, and she's a whiz, having worked at Starbucks for a year. Caroline, I've got all this, she assures me. Go finish the inventory. I'm going. At 10 o'clock, we have our first customers. Well, customers is perhaps not the right word. They are old friends of Mom and Dad's who are here for company and gossip, not to buy anything, but at this point, I'm grateful for anyone coming in. An empty store is unnerving. Later today, I'm hoping some of my school contacts will show up. I spent the entire week spamming the parents at pickup, talking their ear off about the bookstore. The problem is that most of them live near the school, and the bookstore is literally at the other end of the city. But here's to hoping some of them will show up anyway. Niall arrives shortly before lunch, and I greet him with a hug so tight I almost suffocate him. God, how I missed my brother.
Wow, you did a great job,
he says once I step back. He sweeps his eyes around the room as Dad gives him a shorter and manlier hug.
Great job. Looks even better than in the pictures. Want a coffee?
Dad asks.
Sure, I'll drink it while you give me the tour.
Niall runs his hand through his hair, ruffling it a bit. Though my brother's hair is as dark as mine, he has reddish hues, because Niall favors our mother more than I do. While Dad makes him coffee, Niall pulls me a little farther away.
How are the finances on this? Was the money enough?
Niall and I both chimed in with an equal amount of money for the renovation. Yeah, it was just about right.
If he needs anything else, tell me. Dad doesn't always tell me if he's in trouble.
Shifting my weight from one leg to the other, I say, "Could you call him more often? He misses you." Niall nods, swallowing.
"I'll try to. I don't mean not to call him, but my schedule is insane. But I'll try more, I promise."
"Okay." As Dad hands him the coffee cup, we begin the tour, which ends all too quickly because Niall has to return to the conference. I head to the back once he's gone, going through the boxes containing the latest batches of books we ordered. I might finish in the back today, and tomorrow morning I'll arrange the new merchandise on the shelves inside. Several hours later, I'm neck-deep in lists and boxes, double-checking everything on my computer.
"Caroline, how are you doing in there?"
Dad asks, poking in his head. "My eyes will cross soon," I answer, honestly.
"Take a break. Come out to the front."
"Okay." Stretching, I follow him out. Whoa! The back door opens into the coffee shop area, and there are more people than I expected milling around, some sitting at the tables, others inspecting the shelves lining the walls. It takes me a few seconds to realize quite a few are named Bennett. I specifically didn't invite them because I didn't want them to feel obligated to come, but man, am I happy to see them. Daniel must have told them. Wait a second. I'll go shut down my computer and join everyone for an extended break. Heading back inside the storage room, I barely pick up my computer when I hear Daniel's voice through the open door, sounding as if he's heading this way.
"Martin, you did a great job."
"Thank you, son."
"Where's Caroline?"
I jump at the sound of my name.
"In the back."
Since I have my back to the door, I don't see, but rather feel him stepping inside the room. The air seems to change instantly. The fine hairs on the back of my neck stand on end. A current of awareness shakes my entire body as I spin around to face him. "Hey, I was just finishing up here. Thanks for stopping by and bringing your family."
"My pleasure."
He smiles, leaning in to kiss my cheek. Heat zings through me. Oh boy, my entire body reacts to his presence. The memory of our night together is still too fresh in my mind, the feeling of his touch imprinted on my body, not to mention our midnight confessions. I'm not likely to forget those anytime soon. Between the memory of his touch and his words, he's pulling me in like a magnet.
"When's Niall arriving?"
he asks, instantly cutting the tension. "He was here before lunch, but he couldn't stay longer. We'll see him tomorrow for breakfast again."
"Come out in the front, you two,"
Dad calls from inside the room.
"Ailish just finished a fresh batch of cookies."
I head out of the room, Daniel hot on my heels. To my delight, the Bennetts even brought some of the little ones. Pippa's twins, Mia and Elena, Sebastian's kids, Will and Audrey, and Logan's son Silas are all here, and I've got just the thing to entertain them. I do an inventory of the adults, too. Ava and Sebastian, Logan and Nadine, and Pippa and Eric are on one side of the room. On the other side of the room are Blake and Summer. Their parents, Jenna and Richard Bennett, are a few feet away. I greet everyone fast, tripping over my own feet as I inquire what they want to drink. After they're all set up, I turn my attention to the kids. "I've got some coloring books for you," I tell the younger ones, who seem to be hanging on to my every word. "Come on." "Kids are well entertained," I announce, to no one in particular, when I join the Bennetts again. God, it's so good to have all of them here. I'm beyond thankful. That's when I realize I haven't thanked them. I've been so beside myself, I forgot to say it out loud. "Thank you all for being here." Blake puts a hand on my shoulder.
"Anytime. Besides, we were all waiting for the day Daniel would come to his senses. Made a bet with Summer on when that would happen. I lost by about 3 years.
This isn't awkward at all. "What? No, we're friends," I mumble, feeling my face go up in flames. At least Daniel is not within earshot, but at the other end of the room, inspecting the middle shelf of the travel section. Thank heavens for small mercies. Summer steps closer. Yeah, you're blushing worse than ever. Friends, my ass. Oh, boy. If I thought my face was hot before, now I'm expecting steam to come out of my ears. Between Blake and Summer, I'm toast. I'm out of practice fending off curious Bennets, but I need to polish those skills until they shine like silver. Summer grins, giving me a knowing look. Pippa, on the other hand, appears to be surprisingly uninterested in the topic, perusing the lifestyle shelves. This is so unlike her that I instantly realize she's up to something. Aw, man. If any of the Bennett women get wind of what happened in the Marina Hotel, I'm a dead woman. And I'm not being dramatic. It's the honest-to-God truth. I don't have time to dwell on this alarming idea because Eilish brings everyone cookies and we dig in. My eyes sweep around the room, and I'm pleasantly surprised to see a set of parents from my school. I immediately rush over to thank them, giving them a tour of the bookstore. Nice place, the woman comments. Pity it's so far away from where we live. It was nice of you to come by. Can I tempt you with another coffee on the house? They smile. Won't say no to free coffee. Once I've set them up with steamy cups, I retreat in the corner between the lifestyle and healthy living sections, surveying the room. If at least 10% become paying customers, I start to mentally crunch the numbers and am so absorbed in it, I startle when Daniel walks up to me.
Everything okay?
He asks. I hope the cafe addition will work out, I confide. I feel like I'm going to implode if I don't voice my concerns soon, and Daniel has a sharp business acumen. We already lost out on the back-to-school sales because we weren't open. I hope we'll make some decent sales centered around Halloween items.
You'll do great. Just make sure you have a system in place so people can't stay in the coffee shop for hours just paying for one drink.
What do you mean? I ask in alarm. I don't want to be one of those places hazing customers to order something every half hour. Daniel strokes his chin, seeming to carefully weigh his words.
It's not hazing. It's not letting people take advantage of you.
Protest rises in my throat. But this is a place for people to come and relax.
Yeah, but relaxation shouldn't come for free. You have 20 seats here. If you get 10 people who come in regularly to buy two drinks and spend 6 hours, half of your shop is gone. No way you can turn a profit.
My protest turns to panic. But won't people hate the nagging?
Those worth your time won't. Trust me, the customers who value what you have to offer won't mind paying for it. You don't need the rest.
That's something Mom would say, I admit.
Your mother was a great businesswoman.
I slash the air with my finger. I know what you mean. How Dad and I are lousy at business?
You're not lousy, but you're not exactly profit-oriented either. You care about people's experience, which is great. That's how it should be. Customer first and everything. But you still need to fend off the moochers. Don't be afraid to demand what you're worth.
I nod. In theory, he makes sense, but I'm not sure how this translates into practice. Can I run a few ideas by you? I ask.
Sure. You can run anything you want by me.
I laugh, warmth spreading through me. There are plenty other Bennets I can ask for advice.
Yet you chose me. I have plenty of evidence that I'm your favorite Bennet.
Like what? I challenge. God, it's so easy to get caught in his banter, his playfulness. He trails his finger up and down my spine as if it's only natural for him to touch me. I'm playing right into his illusion, though, by not moving away.
One word. Marina.
I was on Benadryl, I counter, but the argument is weak. Daniel wastes no time pointing it out.
Not when we make love.
No. No, no. He can't go there again. He won't. This shameless, merciless man. I had a few hours of weakness, and he's using them against me like a weapon. Daniel, can we just forget about that? He pushes a strand of hair behind my ear, tilting his head to one side.
I don't want to. And you don't either. You were kissing me like you never wanted me to stop.
Of course